Well, this morning, as I learned that your theme this year is serving God acceptedly, my mind immediately went to a text that the Lord has been using in my life again. And it has to do, if we're going to serve God acceptably, the Christian's crucifixion is what I'd like to talk to you about this morning. And just want to show you three times in the book of Galatians that the word crucified is mentioned in three different times. And the voice and the tense of the verb is different when it's mentioned in these different places. And it carries with it significant meaning. So I pray as we strive to serve God acceptably, this message will just have a part in helping equip us all. So follow along, please, as we read the text in Galatians 2:20. The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And then the next time we see this word crucified, it's in a different tense, a different voice, and it's in chapter 5, verse 24. And they who are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And then once again, the word crucified appears in chapter 6. And notice the strength of the outcome of the earlier crucifixions. Notice what gets crucified in chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So, before we really unpack the idea of the Christian's crucifixion, I want to remind us of a general description of what crucifixion is. Of course, our Savior, He went through this for us. But I want us just to bear in mind the brutality, the difficulty of crucifixion, because the believer has a crucifixion to go through if we're going to serve God acceptably, and it's not easy. So let us remember our Savior's crucifixion. A medical doctor, Dr. Truman Davis, he contemplated the impacts of the ancient practice of crucifixion on the human body. And he writes this article, quote, crucifixions were preceded by a scourging. The victim was naked, their arms tied above their head. At first, the thongs that they were hit with would cut only through the skin. But as the blows continue, they cut deeper until the half-fainting victim is untied and allowed to slump to the pavement, wet in their own blood. A heavy crossbeam was then tied across his shoulders. In spite of his efforts to walk upright, the heavy wooden beam, with the shock and the blood loss, would impair his balance and would cause him to stumble and fall. At the site of execution, the victim is pushed to the ground. The legionnaire feels for the depressions in the front of the wrist. He drives heavy, square, wrought iron nails through the wrist into the wood. The left foot is pressed backward against the right, leaving the knees moderately flexed. A nail is driven through the arches into the cross. The victim is now crucified. As he sags down, the nails in the wrist put pressure on the median nerves. The brain signals the legs to push upward for relief, but the nail through the metatarsal bones and the nerves of the feet respond in searing agony. At this point, great waves of cramp sweep over the muscles, knotting them in deep, relentless pain. With these cramps comes an inability to push upward. Hanging by the arms, the pectoral muscles are paralyzed and the intercostal muscles are unable to respond at full capacity. Air can be drawn into the lungs, but cannot be exhaled. The victim fights to raise himself to get a short breath. Carbon dioxide builds up in the lungs and the bloodstreams, and then the cramps partially subside. Spasmodically, he is able to push himself upward to exhale and bring in life-giving oxygen. Undoubtedly, during this battle in this period was when Jesus uttered those seven short sentences from the cross. Crucifixion is brutal. The common method of ending crucifixion was to break the leg bones, resulting in rapid suffocation. But this was unnecessary for Christ. For after 6 hours, he bore the penalty of our sins in his body on the tree. Now, as we look at this subject this morning of the Christian's crucifixion, first of all, what provides our salvation? And the Scripture is very clear that it is Christ's crucifixion that provides the free gift of salvation to all those who believe. It's God's grace and our faith in His gospel plan. But notice the text this morning. Three things I hope you'll look for in this verse as I reread it. There's a crucifixion in this verse. There's an identification that you and I need to have with Christ in this verse. And then there is a redirection of our lives in this verse. Notice, I am crucified with Christ. Christ is crucified, but we identify with His crucifixion. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ is living in me. Now there's a redirection because we identify with Christ's cross. Let me back up for a moment. It is Christ's crucifixion that provides our salvation. You know, John Scott said of Christ's crucifixion, it was the only one act of pure love, unsullied by any taint of ulterior motive, has ever been performed in the history of the world, namely the self-giving of God in Christ on the cross for undeserving sinners. You know, all the good that you and I would like to do for the Lord, all the love we would like to share with our fellow man and love our neighbor as ourselves, I want to tell you that ulterior motives always seems to compete and cloud. It crowds in our heart. That's the flesh that does that. But the crucifixion was the one pure, selfless act in all of time gifted for you and I. It's so important that everyone in this room, if we want to serve God acceptably, we will have to identify with Christ's crucifixion. There has to be an identification. The Scripture says, I am crucified with Christ. Have you identified with the saving grace of Christ's cross? Several years ago in California, I'm told that a young woman appeared in traffic court for violation of speeding. And the judge said, do you plead guilty or not guilty? The young lady said, guilty. And down came the gavel. And this was quite a few years ago. The fine was $100 or 10 days in jail. Then, after the proceeding was over, the judge did a strange thing. He took off his robe. He descended down off the platform. He come around to the front of the court. He pulled out his billfold, and there he paid that young woman's fine. You see, that was his daughter. And he was ready to pay her fine for her. Similarly, friends, God looks down at us, you and I, and He sees that in while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Our inability to pay our own sin debt. So, He sent His Son into the world to pay that fine for us. And as we identify with Christ by faith, something miraculous happens. You see, the Father has so arranged that our sins were transposed on His body on the tree. And He once and for all paid the guilt and the penalty For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we must identify with the cross of Christ where salvation is made available if we're going to serve God acceptably. And that is when our life gets redirected, just like our text says. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ is living in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith. The same one that saved me by faith, I'll walk by faith. Now, I wanted to show you one more quick thing before we go to our next point. Please notice the tense of the verb crucified in this verse, because it matters, the tense and the voice. It is a perfect tense and a passive voice. And what this means, if I'm understanding this correctly, the passive voice means that the subject of this verse is I, a believer, you and me who've put faith in Christ. The action is done to us. It's done for us. And the perfect tense indicates the action is completed. It's once and for all. Do you see the weight of this verse? When we come by faith to the Father, calling on the name of Jesus Christ, the Father, once and for all, has allowed our sins to have been atoned for at Calvary. And that's settled, friends. And that's the platform for beginning to serve God acceptably. You see, I am so thankful we have a compassionate God, compassionate Savior, a sweet abiding Spirit that does not leave us as an orphan. Listen to this. Christ sympathizes with humanity in His incarnation, but Christ empathizes with our need in the crucifixion. So have you identified with Christ cross? I trust you have. Let me quickly go to next point here. What happens after salvation? What does the text say? Remember, we went from Christ's crucifixion, and what happens after salvation is our crucifixion. Notice the text again. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The flesh, what is this? That's that mysterious word. Of course, the flesh is the old man. It is the sinful nature, but could we describe it just a little bit more? Every desire, every motivation, every ambition rooted in the sinful nature, those that are Christ, we've come to Christ's cross, identified with Him, they crucify the flesh daily. I would have you notice that this verb, crucified, is very different. It is the aorist tense and the active voice. The active voice means the subject has to do the action. You and I are responsible for this crucifixion of the flesh. And the aorist tense points to action that will continue and it will be repeated. So in other words, it's not once and for all. I would recommend, my friend, that when you get up in the morning, we all have got that morning routine. And I don't know what yours is, but mine sounds a little bit like this, you know. I wake up in the morning and oftentimes before my feet will hit the floor, I make a habit of getting a phrase of Scripture on my mind. And as I'm stumbling along, I'll go over and get that cup of coffee pretty quickly. And I'll have that in hand and I'm using a little bit on some Scripture. And then the dog will come along. And old Blue, here's old Blue. He'll get a little affection from me and I from him. He comforts me, I comfort him. And there it is. And we're engaging with each other. And a few minutes later, it's time to get a shower, time to shave. I'm going to eat a bite. I'll take my multivitamin. There we go. Off we go. Oh, wait a minute. We got to put on those clothes, don't we? We don't want to leave home without that. We got to get fully ready and clothed. Now, just as silly as it sounds to think of stepping out the front door without proper attire, it is spiritually so immature that we would leave our nest, to go out thinking there's a chance we'll serve God acceptably without taking on a self-crucifixion. If I could say it this way, victory comes through surrender to Christ. This putting flesh to death daily is not a matter of your willpower. It's a matter of waking up and saying, Father, I am crucified with Christ. Thank you so much that the penalty of my sin and the guilt of my sin has forever, once and for all, been dealt with. And because of that, I have the opportunity today that the sinful nature with its allurements, I recognize that as crucified. And Holy Spirit, you have the preeminence today to guide me throughout. Oh, friends, that is the basis to starting the day. You know, daily we crucify our flesh. That allows the Holy Spirit room to have preeminence, and we will walk in the Spirit. Doesn't verse 25 say, if we live in the Spirit, you've been born into the family of God, you have eternal life, and you're living in the Spirit, then let us in practice do what we are in principle. If we live in the Spirit, let us also, what does it say? Walk in the Spirit. Well, it's so important that in the morning we put self where it belongs. Subordinate. We put it on the cross, crucified, and the life of Christ be allowed to come through. You know, could I mention this illustration of someone who knew about Christ a long time, but something happened where they began to serve Christ acceptably. Count Nicholas von Zinzendorf was viewing a portrait done by Domenica Fidi's portrait of Christ wearing the crown of thorns. And underneath that portrait, there is a caption that reads, I did this for thee, what hast thou done for me? And Count Zinzendorf went out of that room, and it said that he stated, I have loved Christ for a long time, but I've never actually done anything for him. Shortly after that, convicting, and isn't it wonderful when conviction comes upon you and you feel like God is dealing with your heart? And shortly after that convicting moment, there was a spiritual movement or group of people that started meeting on Zinzendorf's property known as Hern Hut. And in time, they became responsible for sending out hundreds of missionaries. Now think about it. Jesus Christ was crucified for us. What can we do for Him? Galatians makes it clear that we would daily surrender, daily seek renewal, daily dedicate that day to the Lord, daily be crucified. Paul the Apostle, he said, I die daily. I want to tell you, it's hard some days to get self out of the way. But as the Holy Spirit promised, He does not leave us as orphans. And oh, friends, that is how we serve God acceptably, is not driving forward, but surrendering daily. You know, Charles Spurgeon, he said these words. He said, stand at the foot of the cross and count the purple dots which you have been cleansed by. See the crown of thorns upon His head. And if you do not lie prostrate on the ground before that cross, then you have not seen it. I would encourage us all that the believer's crucifixion is the pathway to serving acceptably. So, let me transition here. What provided salvation? Christ's crucifixion. What happens after salvation? Our crucifixion. And when we die daily, that's when the miracle of Galatians 6:14 happens. Notice this incredible verse once again. Point number three, Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory. Boasting is allowed in one area. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. What results from the cross of Christ? What is the true outcome of the cross of Christ? My friends, write the word down. Know it with your heart. The Bible proclaims it. You and I need to seek it and walk in it. And it is freedom, power. That's what results from the cross of Christ. Notice the tense of the verb and the voice of the verb. It is back to a passive, perfect tense. This is amazing to me. In other words, the implication is this. The doctrine is this. When you die daily, making the cross of Jesus Christ where He died for you, making that your boast, then the Holy Spirit so enables that the power of the cross will keep the world from you and you from the world. And the world will hang its shingle out in front of you. And you will see allurements. You will see temptations. You will see what others do. And yet, by the power of the Father who has arranged a great gospel plan, you are kept from the world and the world is kept from you. That's powerful living, my friends. What does it take to serve God acceptably? Identifying with the cross of Christ where our salvation is purchased. And then daily surrendering our old self and making sure it's crucified and giving place to the Holy Spirit. And then we can live with so much power and serve God so acceptably. I close with this illustration. In 1941, Franklin Roosevelt gave a speech in front of Congress. And he spoke of when the war would end, he was looking for four freedoms throughout the world. He envisioned the freedom of speech, the freedom of worship, the freedom from want, and the freedom from fear. Sounds like a pretty good world. And even though I appreciate the speech, in various places of the world, various amounts of success has taken place with those four freedoms. But there is a fifth freedom that means more, more than any of those four that we should add. And here it is. Man needs a fifth freedom to be free from himself, free from the tyranny of the sinful nature, free to live in an abundant, powerful life. That freedom. How is that going to be accomplished? This verse has the answer. My friend, the same cross that saved your eternal soul by faith is where the same source comes. And the same power comes from the same place for you to die daily and live above the lure of the world. Would you bow with me for prayer? Our Father, God forbid that we would boast save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we desire to serve You acceptably, we are powerless without the cross, but we are powerful with the cross. Help us to identify more closely with Christ's crucifixion and our daily death. Father, thank You for saving us. Thank You for bringing us into the process of sanctification. And we are here today to continue to serve and learn to serve You acceptably.